I'm going to try to speak on something that we may come at a couple of different ways over the next few weeks. 10 years ago really marked us really being able to see that the land, our spiritual land, had really come under attack. And what I've been sharing over the last couple of times I've shared was out of John 21 when Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me? Well, then feed my sheep." And what I'm going to try to always have that kind of be a backdrop over this season, what he's telling Peter, you're going to have a spiritual land. Spiritual land are the people that God puts you with in your workplace and family that you're supposed to feed them Jesus. But see, we have to feed them the living word. We can't be feeding them yesterday's word. You can't be feeding them yesterday's revelation or a month ago revelation. And so as Jesus and Peter were walking this beach walk, if you will, "Peter, do you really love me?" "Well, Lord, you know that I love you." "Well, then tend to my sheep." And the word feeding and tending is different. The word tending literally has a shepherding father figure to it. In other words, what he's telling Peter, there's going to be something so radically be transformed in your life where you have fought to be an elite part of this group. When my spirit comes upon you, you're going to be a spiritual dad to many. It's actually the word instructor. In other words, Peter will become a father and a teacher, and he will make disciples. Did you know every one of us is supposed to be making disciples? Look at your neighbor and say, "You're supposed to be making a disciple." Come on, say it out loud. Even if you can't find a neighbor, say it, just say it to him. And I love what Paul says in Philippians after he does this great writing through the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4, that he's talking about being thankful and how to do a prayer meeting and everything and how to structure your prayer life. He says, "Oh, by the way, guys, what you've heard me say, what you have watched me do, all of this context." And years ago when I was a new believer, I used to think, gosh, Paul was so arrogant. Because what he went on and say, he says, "What you've seen in me, now go and do." I want to ask you a rhetorical question. If a person could watch your life, hear what you say, would they be able to do like Paul and literally be imitating Christ? We're all called to do and live and be that way. That we should be walking in Christ's commandments to that way. That my speech should be speaking such the speech of the Lord. And that's the reason we had this ministry time a while ago, because when heaviness tries to get upon us, when hopelessness tries to come and be the language of our heart, we speak it. You have to understand what you speak and do every day, it has influence to people around you, either good or bad. And I'm not talking about what got perverted of name it, claim it, so I can drive a new Cadillac, but they were talking a kingdom principle. They just started using this principle for themselves and not to bring glory to God. Amen? So as they walk this walk down the beach, Jesus is teaching Peter a principle. If you're going to have spiritual land, you need to eat what I feed you. You need to eat so that you can give it away and tend to my creation the way that I've called you to tend to. Okay, amen? Got that? So I want to ask you, how much are you spending time in prayer every day? And I'm not talking about that it's all got to be right there in your journal at 5 in the morning, whatever. It can be the lifestyle of driving in the car. Jesus is not this God that we get to tap in for my quiet time, and then I don't talk to him the rest of the day. No, it's a lifestyle. It's when you're sitting at the computer and you're typing and God gives you a word picture of somebody. He just wants you to lift up a prayer, and you can keep typing. We've allowed the enemy to so fragment our walk that many of us are dysfunctional in a lot of our walk. Because God, in walking with the Spirit of God, is just a 24/7 lifestyle, and it's really easy. Jesus even said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, my yoke is light and easy. It's not heavy. It's not burdensome. It's not some religious thing that you got to go do all the time. I take that religion thing off of you so that you can walk in a light and easy way. And it's fun to walk with the way that the daddy has created it to walk out. Amen? All right, three of you are excited about that. That's good. We're making headway. All right, amen, amen. But the issue is we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. And so many of us, when we say that prayer and we really ask Christ into our life, yes, our name comes into the Lamb's Book of Life. Our name, we're a son and daughter of the King, and we start that progression from being a slave, because a slave's a slave. Even though you ask Jesus in your life, you still live like a slave. Because you don't know that you're a son or daughter, so you have tendencies as a slave. Philippians also says this, that you walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. What that says is that you get revelation more and more every day as you walk this beach walk with Jesus like Peter was doing. And he gives you this revelation along the walk. All of a sudden, this slave mentality, you become a friend. And friends live different, totally than slaves do. And then as you walk and it's 3 months down the road or 3 weeks down the road or 3 years down the road, and all of a sudden, man, I know I'm a son or a daughter. And you live different and you expect different and you believe all of a sudden as a son or daughter that you can speak to things that are dead and they come to life. Thank you, Wendy Kay. That was a good time to say amen. It really is, because a friend and a slave, in my opinion, and I know that Jesus says in John 15, he says, I no longer call you slaves, but I call you friend. There's even a greater progression from a friend to a son and a daughter. Because as a son, just like today, I could stand and prophesy to the different people I prophesied. Wendy Kay could stand up and prophesy justice over injustices. Because you start seeing yourself as Christ sees you. Can I tell you the reason so many of us do not prophesy life to where there's dead things like she had us do today? It's amazing how God works. What she was ministering to is what I had prepared to preach on. God always loves to compliment what He's doing. And so this nation has to become a nation that if we see dead, dry bones, we're excited about it and not bummed about it. Because you were called for transformation. You think about the gang in the upper room, 120. They've seen their friend Jesus go away. They've been told about the Holy Spirit. They don't even know anything about really transformation, but they've seen Jesus transform lives for three and a half years. The Spirit of God comes upon them, and they believe they can go into cities and speak something that transforms death to life. Do you really, really, deep within your heart, believe that the same Spirit of God that came upon those dudes and dudettes? Did you like it, dudette? You had to think about that, didn't you? You got to write that down. That's the only time he's made a note all day. Dudette, I got to remember that one. They really believed they could go into the city of Jerusalem and speak to life. To a bunch of dead bodies. And they did. To the point that the wave of that in Acts 2 to jumps all the way to Acts 17:6, that the enemy of the kingdom of God was declaring, man, the people who have turned the world upside down are now coming into our cities. Church, you're called for transformation and you're called to be a world changer. And you're called to do it in your spiritual land. But now let's back up. Spirit, soul, and body. Our soul, kind of like, again, what she ministered out of. Roll the stone away. Jesus does His part. He's done His part. He rolled the stone away of what the enemy had began in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. that when they sinned in shame and fear and rejection and death and sickness and everything ungodly and unrighteous was released on the face of the earth, Jesus came to bring justice to all of those injustices. But at this point of roll the stone away, Lazarus comes bebopping out there because he's got all this bondage on him, wrapping. But he, can you imagine? He's in heaven. I love how Carmen, I know many of you are probably not a big fan of Carmen, but I loved how he did that song years ago where Lazarus come forth and Lazarus is in heaven and they're doing all this little wordplay there, this little illustrated message, if you will, and Lazarus just standing there and he's talking to everybody in heaven and all of a sudden, Lazarus, come forth. But then he thought, well, okay, ma'am, I'm hearing things. So he goes back to talking, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, whoosh, Lazarus leaves the heavenly throne to be back into a tomb. And now he's got to come bebopping out in the wrapping. This is what you and I are called to do, just like the disciples were in that time. Remove the grave clothes. No more death. And so here these guys are. Now, put ourselves in those guys' place. They've just seen Lazarus come forth. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus has told them all of this in the story. Oh, man, we're going to wait. Lazarus is sick. No, we're going back because now Lazarus is dead. And he's been dead for 4 days. Thomas, just like you and I, we're great faith saints. He goes, well, let us go back. We might as well expect to be dead because that's literally what Thomas said. Anybody know the story? Well, we're great saints of the Bible right here. But it really is funny. I love this because we say the same unbelieving things. That was before the Holy Spirit, though, because they lived in a total different way after the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They spoke to dead things, and they came to life. So here they go. They go walking up. Don't you know they were a little bit scared? It was, a horror movie being played out right there. I mean, seriously. We need to read the Bible and put ourselves in these stories because we're in these stories in our everyday life. So they go, and they start removing the grave clothes. Wouldn't it have been funny to be there? Because when he moves it around Lazarus' mouth and now he can talk. Wow, man. Can you imagine the stories that Lazarus told? How many stories are out in our cities ready to be told because you're going and doing your spiritual land the way you're called to do? This past week, thanks to the Yeeries, they gave us a gift certificate this past Christmas, and I finally used it for a massage. Better, because I saw, expiration date, December 31st. I better start using it. Well, she comes to our house, and God just starts giving me a word picture for her. And I give her a word of knowledge, and she is so touched by it. She says, man, I could feel you trying to talk to me, and I was hoping you'd just go to sleep. So I love that language. Big time touched. And we have those encounters every day. Why don't we do it more often? Because again, his yoke is light and easy. This church should be full. There should be people waiting out in line because, I know I have a bias, but this is a very life-giving church. We have freedoms here and order. And when God moves, we allow him. And I think it's because many of us have been, put our walk with the Lord in these categories that we're on fire for him on Sunday, but then we forget about him through the week. But God brings you and I people in grave clothes every day. And sometimes they're in real nice suits. They're not in grave clothes like Lazarus was in and so easily seen. So as they remove all those, the Pharisees are so mad as you go from John 11 to John 12. They want to kill Lazarus because he's a testimony of Jesus raising him from the dead. That's how hard religion is. Now you think about that. Here's a dude that's been raised from the dead. He's been dead for 4 days. Religion wants him killed because people are following Jesus instead of following their rules and laws. Religion's still strong today. And sometimes it encompasses our way of living and thinking. So now let's get back spirit, soul, and body. Many of us get grave clothes on us from one Sunday to the next. Some of us, you know, because of what happened at the garden, and even though Jesus became the justice to deal with these injustices, we grew up in a culture of our home the way our moms and dads were, and I'm going to be very transparent with you today. And no matter how great you grew up in a home, I think that Celia and I offered a great home for our three children. There were still mistakes we made that left wounds on their soul that God still needs to heal today. And I had those wounds in my own soul that would affect me all the way to today. And again, Philippians says we walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. The word saved that you find in Luke 7:50, zoso, and I know I'm sure I'm just hammering and tearing up that Greek word, but it actually means where you're saved and healed, spirit, soul, and body. We think that when we come down and ask Christ into our life or we do it at home, well, there's the spiritual aspect. Now I'll go and get my soul healed and my physical body healed, and there is a progression to different healings. Please hear me. And I've got to set up, and I'm sorry I'm taking so long to set it up, but it's time that we create a culture in this house and cultures all over this nation that we really are healed spirit, soul, and body. Now, back to the culture of the earth, I mean the home that I grew up in. And again, let me throw this in here. What Wendy Kay asked you to do, the very thing that most of us probably needed to pray for, is the very thing that fights against your life. Does that make sense? In other words, if you're always physically sick, can I tell you that more than likely you have an anointing for healings and miracles? If you deal with rejection, probably more than not, you have a revelation that God wants to give you so that you can impart identity to other people. Does that make sense? Jesus, again, I've talked 2 or 3 weeks over the last few weeks of our spiritual warfare. What Jesus, he's in the Jordan River. The Father says, oh, this is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased in him. The next story we find, the devil comes against him and says, if you really are the Son of God, do this. The enemy really, truly, sometimes can identify the truth that we have and should be walking in, and he'll bring every counterfeit and grave clothes on us to keep us from living in that thing. So in that, and then, so I love it how God will put us in places to deal with the woundedness of our life. Let me just jump here and just describe real quickly, and then I'm going to come back to my home life as a kid growing up. The word brokenhearted that it says in Isaiah 61, and then it's repeated, Jesus says, this is my mandate. This is what I carry in my spiritual land. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And many of us are preaching the gospel to the poor good on our outreaches and different things, but there's this still brokenhearted that needs to be healed in many of us. And I want you to hear some of the words that describe a brokenhearted life. To be trampled upon, broken in pieces, shatter, to be bruised, to be ground down to powder, to be smashed. And when I think of those words, I think of bruised heart doesn't take near as long to maybe be healed as a ground down to powder heart. But then Jeff Willard sent me an incredible video of the church in China. And these people are being healed in one service of some tremendous issues. And so am I neglecting still my first part here? God, we need the Spirit of the Lord in the fullness of you. And I want to ask you again, rhetorical question. When you came here this morning, how much did you pray this past week that the anointing of God would be here to set people free? And I mean it, church, because that's what will set people free. It's a prayer that I pray every day. I don't want a bunch of marketing. I mean, please, I'm asking God, what do we, because I look at the church in China and they're growing in millions and billions of believers and they don't market one thing but persecution. That's not a big marketing tool in American church. Do you, and I beg you, to not only just pray on Sunday, but to pray every day, God, we need your anointing. Let the Spirit of the Lord increase on my life. Because you see, I carry something in my heart that I want to see this man right here healed of the kidneys and lung issues he has. Because the time that I'm calling you to prayer is that everybody in this body of believers is going to get something out of it. And we think so individually and we think so much about our issues of the week. And I understand that. But where is the heart cry in us as a community of believers that we need the anointing of God here, the manifest presence of Him that will bring forth a healing like that? I'm crying out for a culture that truly healings and miracles, that no sickness can be in this house. That there's not one person that would walk in that door and doubt that they're a son and daughter of the King. I'm going to ask you again, how are you praying for this house? Because you see, it's not about Mike and Celia. It's about every one of us that are members of this house. We carry a heartbeat of God for the spiritual land in this house. And it's about Steve. And it's about other infirmities in this house. It's about precious ones that I'm ready to see babies be conceived in their hearts. I mean, not their hearts, but conceived in their womb. And the list goes on and on of marital issues. Do you cry out every day? In that China, that video of China, they have 12-hour services in a building that's 120 degrees, and they meet for 12 hours. I'd cancel the church service if the air conditioning went out. I'm joking. But when I watched this 9-minute and 36-second video, and I've watched it several times, I don't feel condemned, but I feel very lukewarm. And I know that God's moving upon my heart. Where is my depth of hunger and a heart cry of His anointing to show up to heal many of us in this place, if not all of us, of the different issues we carry? But see, again, we're spirit, soul, and body. It's the reason Jesus says your spirit's willing, but your soul needs healing, is what He was saying. Your flesh is weak. There was a grave clothes on him, and he didn't know it really. But he would, as the Spirit of God would fall upon him in the upper room. His soul would no longer be weak. He would be ready to turn the world upside down. Amen? So, back to a little bit of my journey. I grew up in a home, a good Christian home, but had hiccups. A dad that was very, very loving, unconditional loving, but a mother who carried a lot of wounds. She was, as early as I can remember, she was legally blind. She had macular degeneration, and she, as a kid, I remember when we were 6 years old, you know, she couldn't pass the test for drivers any longer. And I remember, because Dad was a bread man, He delivered meats, fine bread. And my mom, I remember at 6 or 7, mom couldn't see the light, and we'd be driving, and we'd have to tell her it's green or it's red or all those different things. And so I grew up with a very precious mom, but a mom who didn't really believe God was good, even though we went to church Sunday after Sunday. Because how could God be a good God if you carry that? And we grew up as not even middle class, but low to middle class. Because a meat's fine bread man doesn't make a lot of money. And we grew up under this deal of no education, uneducated. And all of these different things. And I remember when I was 16 or 17 years old, and I'm just telling you the language that was spoken in our home. And if you think about it, and again, it's time to not be identified with those things. And I'm not. But many of you are identified with the culture you grew up in. And 10 years ago, that thing that happened in New York and Washington, D.C., wants us to be identified to death and destruction and not life. There's things that go on around us all the time that tries to get us to keep these grave clothes on. And so I grew up in this home, and when I was 16 or 17 years old, and I'm dating one of the richest families in all of Hereford, very well-off family, educated family. Again, my mom only spoke the revelation that she knew. And I'll never forget this, at 7:30 in the morning, getting ready for school, my mom said, "You know, Mike, why are you dating Dana? You know we're middle class and we'll always be middle class, and she's out of your league." Again, I love my mom. Been a lot of healing there, but see, even though some of you kind of react what I just said, many of you have been defined by a limp, very similar. And so, you know, at that time, I'm still just having fun in life, so it doesn't affect me that I think those words, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. No, what they do, they'll paralyze you. In fact, gosh, we got to preach a long time today. Kidding. Did you know the word ashes? God brings beauty from ashes. Have you ever looked up that word, actual meaning of ashes? It doesn't mean ashes that we would see. It actually means a chain. And when you dig deeper in the word, it actually means a pace change, P-A-C-E. And I've literally been meditating on that. What the enemy tries to do with every one of those links that he puts on our chain, the disappointments that are ashes, he puts them around us, and we become the pace to the kingdom of darkness. Or we'll come into a meeting, and because the grave clothes and the chains that are rejection, we'll come into a meeting and we'll come and sit over by maybe people who are rejected, because Scripture says this in Romans, kindred spirits are drawn together. In fact, if some of the grave clothes you can identify in your life, I'll bet you $100, I'm still trying to get redeemed, that some of your friends carry and wear the same grave clothes that you carry. So what does God do in His great grace and mercy of, we're middle class, you don't deserve that, blah, blah, is all I've already said. He gets me saved. He calls us into ministry. And I can look back in the rearview mirror 20 years now, and God's amazing. He puts me in a church called Sojourn Church that is educated people, people with money. Because you see, I didn't know how to minister to people with money, because those words had so identified me to only blue-collar workers and down. You hear what I'm saying? And so I literally, we got to Sojourn Church. They hire us. I'm going, are they crazy? And through these 20 years, of course, I knew this years ago, through my fear and trembling of walking out, God put me there to let him see that I went from a slave to a friend to a son to a spiritual dad, and grave clothes could no longer stay on. And you give me the richest person in the world, and I can minister to him with a piece of cake. Give me the poorest or richest. It's kind of like I was going through the channels the other day, and I've watched Braveheart now for the last four times. We got the movie channels free for 3 months, and I do believe that you could preach forever on Braveheart, but one of the movies I was going through, I won't preach on Braveheart, but I always got to honor Mel in that, was Forrest Gump. And when stones were being thrown at him, who all saw Forrest Gump? Who's all seen Forrest Gump? When stones were being thrown at him, and he has all those braces on, the paste chain, ashes, the paste chain, and he can only run like this. Run, Forrest, run! As she screams out at him. And he could run, but he didn't know he could run. But people put limitations on him with their words like had been put on me. And he takes off running. And for those who've seen it, all of a sudden he hits a stride and braces start busting loose. And he runs. He ends up being a great player for University of Alabama, and the list goes on and on, saving people in Vietnam. Great story, because it's the church that needs to break through of her pace chains, her braces, because you've been called to run. You've been called to set the captives free. And it's time to come out of our grave clothes. It's time to bust loose of our pace chains that the enemy's put upon us. And like I said, give me the richest person or the poorest person to minister to, educated or uneducated, MIT grads or HHS grads. God wants to use us all, and he wants to set us free. And the fruit of your life, because I hear a lot of messages being preached on freedom, and I look at their life, and I don't see it. It's time that when we speak on freedom, you could look at my life and go, Mike, I see the freedom you talk about. It's time to be like the Pauls. Watch what I do. Do what I say, and you'll imitate Christ. That's the spiritual dads that Jeff Willard and many of us, as dads and spiritual moms, will come forth and be. What pace chain is on your life? And you've been called to run with the chariots. You've been called to move and run to great mountaintops and great valleys to speak to dead things and see them come to life. If we're going to take our spiritual land, this spiritual land has to be taken first. And there's about 3 more points I have to make, but I'll pick those up hopefully next time. So my question to you, we've already done some ministry, but you see pace chains in your own life. Maybe somebody, a mom or dad, that just spoke something over you of the things that they were bound up in. And what's cool now is my mom has received a ton of healing. And even my Ashley, who's now 27, 6, going to be married in November, was used by God when she was only 12 to talk to my mom about these very issues. Because you see, my kids got to grow up in a culture of a church that was healthy and with a mom and dad that were healthy. So what pace chain do you need to be broken off of your life so that you can run the way Jesus wants you to run? Rejection, fear, hopelessness. If you know a pace chain on your life, I want you to stand up because we're going to pray and you're going to run with the warriors. Words try to identify with our lack. When somebody who's unhealthy speaks to us, they will put chains on us, those braces of pace chains. And it's time that we run and walk high as sons and daughters of the Lord. Let's pray.